Today, we're going to have a message on Sabbath, the Sabbath blessing. And before we begin, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, as this is the last in a series here on the Sabbath, we pray that you'll open our hearts and our minds. As we study thy word, help us to really understand. And Lord, as this message will also go out over the worldwide internet, we just pray that you will bless and direct. And may many people be turned to you because of the Sabbath truth. And we thank you for answering prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. A thought just occurred to me when the lights went out last Sabbath. I was in the dark. And I could hardly read my notes. But God blessed. And I'm very thankful. The devil is always trying to disrupt the service of God. And most of the time, he's not successful, but sometimes he is. And we just keep on keeping on. We're not going to let anything like that happen. As I've told my elders in the past, I said, if I keel over at the pulpit, I said, have them come up and drag me out, and you, one of you elders, step to the pulpit and keep on going, and don't stop the service. And that's the way it ought to be. Okay. For the past few Sabbaths, we've been talking about the 10 pillars of the Sabbath. Basically, the Sabbath is a memorial of creation and redemption. Today is going to be the third and last of the Sabbath series. And we're going to be looking at the blessings that are associated with the Sabbath's proper observance. You know, as I go through the week, sometimes it's such a hectic week that I just really and truly can hardly wait for Sabbath to come so I can put out of my mind all the cares of the week and just relax in Christ. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has a name. It says Seventh-day Adventist. In that name, we have our vision and mission as a denominated people. If you take the New Testament and look at it, you will find it is basically a document about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to look at one aspect of the life of Jesus, or his mission, or his ministry, that is emphasized in the New Testament, it is his second coming, which means Advent. That's why we're called Adventists. Because we're expecting a soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if you were to take a look at the Old Testament in relation to the New, you would see that one of the overriding themes of the Old Testament is the mighty acts of God. And the social glue that brought the Old Testament people together was the seventh-day Sabbath. Matter of fact, the agricultural year in the economy evolved around the celebration of the Sabbath. The sanctuary or the church services also revolved around the Sabbath. And Ezekiel 20 says, I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctifies them. In other words, he says, I recreate you. And so the Sabbath has not only become a memorial of creation, but a memorial of redemption. And it was a social glue which held the Old Testament people together in happiness and joy. It was a blessing to them. And it ought to be a blessing to you and to me. Seventh-day Adventists are the people that have embraced the Bible Sabbath of the Old Testament and have seen its requirement in the New. And we are looking forward to the soon coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who not only created the world, according to John chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1, but he has redeemed the world. Therefore, we get our name, Seventh-day Adventist. The mission and the focus of Seventh-day Adventists encompasses the whole Bible, which is the sum total of the Old Testament as embodied in the social fabric of Sabbath keeping, and Christ coming again to receive His church, which is a preeminent theme of the New Testament. Seventh-day Adventism is a Bible-based, Bible-believing church. Now, I would like to direct your attention back to Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, our scripture reading this morning. There it says, "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and to honor Him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth." Now here the prophet Isaiah is calling for Sabbath reform. He is telling the people to stop trampling upon the Sabbath. Stop trampling it under their feet. And they would begin to find happiness and joy like they have never experienced before in their lifetime. Friends, whenever God decides to move or do something on behalf of His people, He first calls the attention of His people back to true godly living. Here Isaiah is calling for Sabbath reform. Now Nehemiah and Malachi were two prophets that lived right after the Babylonian captivity. And one of the reforms they called for was also Sabbath observance. And this is the same thing we find repeated here in the book of Isaiah. Stop trampling upon God's holy day. And Nehemiah especially came with some very strict Sabbath reforms. Listen, friends, if we expect God to bless us, we must remember that the Sabbath day belongs to Him, and we should respect it. And this is what Isaiah, Nehemiah, and Malachi are all talking about when they're talking about Sabbath reform. Now, I realize, and I have no doubts at all, that there is a sense of God's presence in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I commend our church for that. But I wonder, are we guilty of serving up Sabbath observance with a wrong attitude? Isaiah is calling for Sabbath reform. He says, look, stop doing the worldly things you want to do on God's holy day and do what He wants you to do and call the Sabbath a delight because He knows what will really make you happy. My friends, I just cannot help but to think that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has a sense of God's presence. But I find there is a corresponding apathy towards godly things. And the Sabbath is a godly thing. We seem to treat it as any other day or just a day off work. Our attitudes are not right concerning the Sabbath. See, God has made an appointment with us, not with 2 hours on Sabbath morning, but for 24 hours. The prophet Amos mentioned the same problem in Amos 8, verse 5, where the people were saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we might sell wheat? Do you see what Amos is saying here? These Israelites were living in his day and were half-heartedly observing the Sabbath day. They were saying, when is the Sabbath going to be over so we can get out and make a living and go to Walmart as soon as the Sabbath closes? In other words, they had the wrong attitude about Sabbath observance. It was the same attitude Isaiah was condemning when he said, take your foot off that Sabbath, for it belongs to God. Don't trample it under your feet. The prophet Amos says, watch your attitude. You're sitting here talking about wanting the Sabbath to hurry up and end so you can go out and do your grocery shopping and do this and that. You're just counting the hours until it is past so boredom can be finished and life can start again. Take your foot off that day, for it belongs to God, as Isaiah says. And friends, if we expect God's people we expect to be His people and want Him to bless us, do not call anything that He has made for us common or unclean, or trample it under our feet. Happiness does not come in any sense of the imagination from doing that. Ezekiel 20:20 says, "Hallow my Sabbaths." Do you know what hallow means? Hallow means to have utmost respect for it. Hallow whose Sabbath? God says, "Hallow my Sabbaths." In other words, it belongs to God, and He wants us to have the utmost respect for His Sabbath day, so we can receive the blessings and the happiness associated with it. How many of you have ever heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls? Let's see your hands. Dead Sea Scrolls. Okay, everybody here has. Those oldest copies of the Old Testament are in Israel. You know what the country of Israel did to preserve those documents? They made copies for people to use today. But to preserve the original copies of those priceless scrolls, they made a glass case which is airtight. So it was airtight and vacuum sealed so that they could not rot or deteriorate. And I think perhaps they probably put a certain kind of gas in there too. Even in a case of a nuclear explosion or war in Israel, they will be protected from damage. They will even survive a nuclear explosion. Friends, this is what I call really respect for a document. God says, "I want you to have respect for my Sabbath day. I want you to hallow my Sabbath. I want you to respect it. I want you to watch your attitude and not hope that it will hurry up and be over so that you can begin to do what you were going to do before my Sabbath interrupted your lifestyle. I want you to celebrate the Sabbath with me." I just want to regress here for just a moment and say to you men especially, when you first met the woman of your dreams, you had no problem spending hours and hours and hours with them. In fact, every moment you spent with them was a joy. Isn't that true? Don't be afraid to admit it. It's true. When we really fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, every minute that we spend with Him will be a joy. The Lord says, "I want you to celebrate your existence. I want you to celebrate the fact that I have recreated you in my image, and I have redeemed you and called you by my name." Exodus 20, verse 8 says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Have respect for it. Keep it holy. Now, I want to introduce you to another aspect of that word holy, and it's spelled W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy. Keep it totally. Keep all of it. Not just a part of it, but keep all of it. Why? Because it's a sign between us and God. God has given it to us for rest and holy worship. It belongs to Him. And He says, it is for your benefit. Keep it holy. And as long as you keep it holy, it's going to be a sign between me and you. And the world is going to know that I am blessing you, and you will be delighted with it. You see, my friends, you see, the Sabbath is an oasis of calm in a week of anxious activity. And the day and age in which we live today, it's always an anxiety from morning till night as we're out there trying to make a living out there in the world. Friends, when we don't keep it holy and we trample it under our feet, we lose our credibility. Sad, but the Adventist Church has been losing credibility for way too long. Because of our careless approach to Sabbath keeping. The Bible requires that we keep the whole day holy, not just the 2 hours on Sabbath morning when we're in church, but from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. All of it. Every minute of it should be savored. And we should appreciate the way that heaven bends low to touch earth on that particular time. It's a joyful time when we spend time with Jesus. Oh, my friends, for too long, we Adventists have been trampling underfoot the Sabbath day. We have been playing with the chickens when we should be flying up there with the eagles. God wants to get hold of our church and bless us. But the only way God can fully bless our church is if we follow the divine blueprint for Sabbath keeping. Friends, the Word of God, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. If you want it, it has to be done God's way or not at all. Leviticus 23:32 says, "It shall be to you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls. At evening unto evening shall you celebrate your Sabbath." From evening unto evening. When is the evening? Well, Mark 1:32 tells us, at evening, when the sun did set. The Sabbath is kept from sunset to sunset. From sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. That whole day is to be kept holy for our gracious and wonderful God. The book of Genesis tells us that the evening and the morning were the first day. And so the evening comes first, according to the Bible. The Sabbath is celebrated when the dark time comes Friday and ends when the dark time comes Saturday. Now, what do? The Bible says that we must prepare for the Sabbath. Do you remember what Luke tells us about when Jesus was crucified and laid in the tomb? The Sabbath was drawing on very quickly. What were the ladies doing? They wanted to anoint the body of Jesus, but they said it was a preparation day, and the Sabbath was coming on. It was getting too close to sundown. And they could not prepare his body before the Sabbath came. So they put him in the tomb, and the ladies went away back home, and they were going to come back on the first day of the week after the Sabbath to embalm their Savior. Friends, even though Jesus Christ was the Creator and the Redeemer of the world, they would not embalm Him on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Why? Well, because they had respect for God's holy law, and they knew they had to prepare. So they went back to prepare the spices and the ointment, and when they had finished preparing the material, Sabbath began. So they put off preparing his body for burial until Sunday morning. Do you remember that the book of Exodus tells us that God rained manna down from heaven to feed the Israelites after he brought them out of Egypt? He said, gather twice as much on Friday so that you'll not have to gather any on the Sabbath. In other words, God was trying to teach the people here that because of their 400 years of captivity, they had been brainwashed. And they were taken away from the tradition of the elders and had forgotten what it means to worship God. He was saying, come on out of Egypt so that you can worship the Lord your God. Now, the first thing he did when he brought them out of the land of Egypt was to guide them with the fire and the cloud and feed them with manna in the wilderness. And then all of a sudden, he reinstitutes Sabbath observance that very first week. You see, the Sabbath was not just given then, it was given in the Garden of Eden. But he reinstituted it because they had forgotten about it. And so that very first week, he gave instructions concerning the gathering of food, saying, I want you to gather a double portion on the preparation day. Now, if anyone gathered a double portion of manna during the week, you remember what happened. If someone wanted more than what they needed and gathered a little extra and hid it in their tent, when they woke up looking for a midnight snack, or the next morning they found worms in it. It was spoiled and rotten. The only time it lasted was on Friday night and over the Sabbath. Somehow, God had kept it in a divine refrigerator, and it did not spoil. You didn't know God had a divine refrigerator, did you? So they had fresh food to eat over the Sabbath day. Because God wanted them to know that during the week, or on Friday, you prepare for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not the day to prepare your food. Even God, when he was feeding his own children, showed us that. My friends, this is right from the Bible. The Bible says, stop trampling the Sabbath under your foot. Keep it holy for God. Prepare for the Sabbath. That's another reason why God said, remember, because we get so hectic through the week, we forget the Sabbath day. How many of us have come up to the edge of the Sabbath and gone right on into the Sabbath and say, oh, I forgot, Sabbath, oh no. I know it's happened to everybody in here, including me. It shouldn't be like that. Prepare for the Sabbath. This is why Friday is called the preparation day. It's called the preparation day in the Gospels. And why is it called the preparation day? Because it's a day that you prepare for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a solemn and wonderful rest day. Actually, my wife and I like to start preparing on Sunday. So we have all week to prepare. We don't want to wait till Friday comes to do our preparing because we want to have it all laid out before that. Leviticus 23 verse 3 says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is a Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Now, here we have a new dimension to Sabbath keeping being added. It says, the Sabbath day is the day of a holy convocation. Or, what's a holy convocation? We're having one right now. A church gathering. You are to gather together in a holy convocation on the Sabbath day. Come together and fellowship and worship God. Come together and worship. That's what they did in the New Testament. As long as God's people are joined together and worshiping on the Sabbath, they are brothers and sisters in a family according to the New Testament. You see, it's hard living in this world. It's hard. Those of you who are out there working, you know what I'm talking about. It's hard making a living during the week. And because of this, the Bible says we must take time off and come together to praise and pray and have a holy convocation so that you will know that God is God and that He is in your midst. This is why we need to come to church on the Sabbath. It's appropriate to attend church on Sabbath. Because the Bible says so. Someone who says that they are a Christian and does not want to go to church cannot reconcile that with New Testament or Old Testament Christianity, according to Hebrews 10:25. You cannot be a Christian without wanting to join yourself to a body of believers and worshiping with that body if you are able. We need to come together. In coming together, we prove to one another that our God is alive and that He is a rewarder of everyone that diligently seeks Him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Now, there are some things that we do while we are together in worship. Luke 4:16 tells us that Jesus' custom was to come into the church and stand up to read. On this occasion, He read from the prophet Isaiah. Likewise, when we come to church and have a holy convocation, we read and study the Scripture also. Acts 16, verse 13 tells us that in Philippi, the early disciples customarily met by the river and prayed. So prayer should be a part of the Sabbath convocation. We should pray and study the Bible. And the Philippians begged Paul to come back each week and preach the gospel. So, preaching should be a part of that holy convocation. reading scripture, prayer, church attendance, and preaching. And the Bible says in the Psalms, if anyone comes into the courts of the Lord, bring an offering. And then it says, enter into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. As we read Revelation chapter 4, we can see the heavenly throne room scene where the 24 elders and all the living beings in heaven are gathered. We see them all throwing their crowns at the feet of Jesus while singing glory, hallelujah. Psalm 100, verse 2 says, come into God's presence with singing. There's a song service going on up there on Sabbath. My friends, offertory, reading of scripture, praying, singing, preaching, and coming to church is all a part of this holy convocation. The Bible tells us we should do this every Sabbath. We should come together and worship as a family so that people will know that we're a family and Jesus is our Savior. If I miss church on a Sabbath, it seems like the next week something is missing. I don't feel right. Something's just missing. My friends, it's so beautiful to come to church on a Sabbath morning and see brothers and sisters from every nation, kindred, tongue, and people worshiping, calling themselves a family, worshiping God and waiting for their Savior to come and receive them. Isn't it a good news to be a part of the family of God on a Sabbath day, worshiping the Creator who loves us so much that He was willing to leave His home in heaven and die a cruel death in our place so that we could have His life? Isn't it wonderful to come together and worship a God like that? Friends, we are galvanized and energized by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is beautiful and a blessed experience. God says, it is my day, and it's made for the benefit of my people. It is also appropriate to begin the Sabbath with prayer and song, and it is appropriate to end it the same way. Back when I joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church 50-some years ago, we did that in church. We brought the Sabbath in church. It was called Vespers, or Missionary Volunteer, MV it was called too. And then at the close of the Sabbath, we collected at the church and closed the Sabbath. And that was called, maybe that was called Vespers or MV. I don't remember now. It's been 50-some years ago. Kind of hard for me to recollect back that far. It's appropriate to begin the Sabbath with prayer and song, and it's appropriate to end it the same way. And my wife and I, in our own homes, we try to do that by singing and praying, bringing the Sabbath in and closing it out. And we will be doing that tonight. We should guard the sacred hours of the Sabbath. We should welcome its beginning and say goodbye to it when it comes to an end. It's nice when a family or church family can get together at sunset and welcome the Sabbath and also say goodbye to it at its ending. I would hope that when we get our own church, we will be able to do that and reinstitute Vespers once again. It's a blessed experience, and everything that happens in between sunset and sunset is for the honor, the glory, and praise of our God who has created us. It's a blessed experience with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Needless to say, the house should be cleaned, the clothing washed, the shoes shined, the shirts pressed, and our special Sabbath clothes should be ready and the food cooked. I would not let Sabbath catch me without everything being done. You can call me a legalist if you wish. Other people have called that, call me a legalist. If you want to call me a legalist, that's okay. But I refuse to live my life in jeopardy of not receiving the blessings of God. You can call me what you want, as long as my Savior smiles on me when I call upon His name. That's what really matters to me. It doesn't matter. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You all have heard that before, I know. Now, I do not want to tread on anybody's toes, but I'm going to ask you to stay with me and listen to what I have to say. Now, there's something that is happening to North American Seventh-day Adventists, and it breaks my heart. And that is that Seventh-day Adventists are more and more going out to restaurants to eat on the Sabbath. And I don't really know how to address it. So rather than saying anything about it, I'm just going to read from Scripture, because it is ultimately God who blesses us and not the preacher. Nehemiah, one of the foremost Sabbath reformers, has some instruction in Nehemiah 10:31, which I want us to look at. Nehemiah 10:31. There it says, "And if the people of the land bring ware," that means merchandise, "or any victuals," I guess you all know what victuals are, as food, "on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day." What Nehemiah is saying here is that we're not going to buy any food on the Sabbath. We're not going to run our businesses on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not a day for buying and selling, dear friends. The Sabbath is a day to worship, and you cannot worship if you are buying and selling. So the Sabbath says there will be no buying and selling on the Sabbath day. Nehemiah 13, verse 15 says, "In those days I saw in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves, and loading donkeys, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals." Now, my friends, if they were selling food, that meant somebody in Jerusalem had to be buying food. Here we have buying and selling on the Sabbath day. People were selling food, and people were buying food on the Sabbath. Verses 16 and 17 further say, "There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah, and said unto them, What evil thing is this that you do and profane the Sabbath day?" Friends, do you understand what this is saying? Buying and selling, as well as working at their secular work, was profaning the Sabbath. And Nehemiah was saying, what evil thing are you doing, profaning the Sabbath of our Lord by buying and selling and working on it? Nehemiah was afraid because they had just come out of the Babylonian captivity and they needed the blessings of God. And here these people were trampling God's institution under their feet. Nehemiah says, hey, stop, stop. It's time to reform. It's time to do this God's way. This is God's program, and we are His people. Now, verse 18. And this is where it really gets serious. "Did not our fathers do this? And did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet you bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath." Friends, do you see what happens when we profane the Sabbath? We bring added wrath upon the whole nation and upon the church. Now verses 19 and 20. "And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants I set at the gates, that there should be no burden brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kinds of ware lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice." Friends, after the merchants had been locked outside the gates and saw that the Israelites were serious about Sabbath reform, they came back hoping that the people would come outside the gates and buy. No one went out. They came once and twice and found out that it was not going to work, so they stopped coming to the gate. They stopped coming because the preacher stood up and had the gumption and the courage to speak out on Sabbath reform. And as a result, the people received the blessings of God And it is the same Sabbath that we are keeping today. When we trample God's holy Sabbath under our foot, the whole nation, as well as the church, incurs a curse. And that's what the Bible says. I really believe that our nation is suffering curses today because they don't keep the Sabbath. And God's people are so lax in Sabbath keeping. Friends, Hebrews 4 tells us that there is still the Sabbath for the people of God. When we keep the Sabbath, we're just saying, Jesus, we accept you. We love you. We recognize that you made us and you have redeemed us. We also recognize that you have a divine blueprint on how you want your day to be kept. And we understand that you want it kept holy. Therefore, Jesus, we want to enter into your rest with thanksgiving. Every Sabbath we enter into our Savior's rest, and we want to come and celebrate that rest together with the whole family of God. Friends, we want to be ready when Jesus comes, don't we? We want a reformed church. We want a church that is full of the Holy Spirit. We want a church where Jesus Christ is alive and well and is represented as a mediator between God and man in the heavenly courts. True Sabbath observance is only appreciated by the person who has been born again and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Friends, the blessing of God is placed upon the seventh day and cannot be reversed or transferred. Numbers 23, verse 20. God's blessing is forever. 1 Chronicles 17, verse 23. You see, those who come on Friday for God's blessing come one day too early. Those who come on Sunday come one day too late. God's blessing is upon the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath. Sabbath preparation is for welcoming not just a day, but the Lord of the day. And this preparation is not something that is done just on Friday afternoon alone. It should be done all week. By thinking on the Sabbath and the truth it contains, a person can prepare for a special, wonderful experience with our precious Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he or she cannot have on any other day of the week. My friends, this is no time for confusing confession for repentance or for casually witnessing for Christ or for just playing church. Too many are making the Sabbath into a holiday, but not God's holy day. Too many think that they can be closer to God on a mountaintop or at the beach than in church. Dangerous thinking, my friends. Too many have been taking spiritual holidays. It's time to come back to reality. We're living in the end of the time of the end. It's never been this late before. Never. So we determine in our hearts today to be sure that we're keeping a seven-day Sabbath always in a way that's pleasing to Him who redeemed us from destruction and gave His life so that we can have His life. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the gift of the Sabbath, for this day which invites us to come apart and fellowship with you and with one another. Thank you for giving us this gift through which we may show our love and commitment to you in our thinking and in our living, our lifestyle, not only through the Sabbath, but through every day of our lives. Father, we pray that the Sabbath may truly become for each one of us not a day of boredom, but a day of joyful celebration of your creative and redemptive love, a day when we stop our work to allow you to work in us more fully and freely. Oh, Father, may it become a day in which we allow our Savior to truly enrich our lives with a larger measure of His divine presence and peace, because we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.